Chapter 2. Why don't you tell us what you do each day in the Sanitation Corps, Citizen Alfier? Mrs. Vermeer, our work studies instructor, nodded encouragingly at the man who stood at the front of the classroom. This Citizen Alfier wasn't what I'd imagined a sanitation worker to be. Though he wore a sanitation jumpsuit and carried a pair of rubber gloves, he was actually handsome. Square jaw, burly arms, chest hair peeking out from above his tight jumpsuit collar. I could almost imagine him as Beowulf. Until he spoke.
"Well, we mostly fix clogs in the system," he said. "Clearing what we call black water, that's mostly human waste, so it can flow back to processing, where the apparatus reclaims it and harvests both water and useful minerals."
"Sounds perfect for you," Dia whispered, leaning toward me. "Cleaning waste? A step up from Coward's daughter." I couldn't punch her, unfortunately. Not only was she Mrs. Vermeer's daughter, I was already on notice for fighting. Another write-up would keep me from taking the test, which was stupid. Didn't they want their pilots to be great fighters? We sat on the floor in a small room. No desks for us today. Those had been requisitioned by another instructor. I felt like a 4-year-old being read a story.
"It might not sound glorious," Alfier said, "but without the Sanitation Corps, none of us would have water. Pilots can't fly if they don't have anything to drink. In some ways, we've got the most important job in the caverns."
Though I'd missed some of these lectures, I'd heard enough of them. The Ventilation Corps workers earlier in the week had said their job was the most important, as had the construction workers from the day before, as had the forge workers, the cleaning staff, and the cooks. They all had practically the same speech, something about how we were all important pieces of the machine that fought the Krell.
"Every job in the cavern is a vital part of the machine that keeps us alive," Alfier said, mirroring my thoughts. "We can't all be pilots, but no job is more important than another."
Next, he'd say something about learning your place and following commands.
"To join us, you have to be able to follow instructions," the man said. "You have to be willing to do your part, no matter how insignificant it may seem. Remember, obedience is defiance."
I got it, and to an extent agreed with him. Pilots wouldn't get far in the war without water or food or sanitation. Taking jobs like these still felt like settling. Where was the spark, the energy? We were supposed to be defiant. We were warriors. The class clapped politely when Citizen Alfier finished. Outside the window, more workers walked in lines beneath statues with straight geometric shapes. Sometimes we seemed far less a machine of war than a clock for timing how long shifts lasted. The students stood up for a break, and I strode away before Dia could make another wisecrack. The girl had been trying to goad me into trouble all week. Instead, I approached a student at the back of the room, a lanky boy with red hair. He'd immediately opened a book to read once the lecture was done.
"Raj," I said, "rigmarole."
His nickname, the call sign we'd chosen for him to take once he became a pilot, made him look up.
"Spencer, when did you get here?"
"Middle of the lecture. You didn't see me come in?"
"I was going through flight schematics lists in my head."
"Scud.
Only one day left. Aren't you nervous?"
"Of course I'm not nervous. Why would I be nervous? I've got this down."
"Not sure I do."
Raj glanced back at his textbook. "Are you kidding? You know basically everything, Rig."
"You should probably call me Raj. I mean, we haven't earned call signs yet. Not unless we pass the test."
"Which we will totally do.
But what if I haven't studied the right material?
5 basic turn maneuvers?"
"The reverse switchback," he said immediately. "Alstrom loop, the twin shuffle, overwing twist, and the inbound turn.
DDF G-force warning thresholds for various maneuvers.
10 Gs in a climb or bank, 15 Gs forward, Four Gs in a dive.
Booster type on a POCO interceptor?
Which design?
Current.
A-19.
Yes, I know that, Spencer.
But what if those questions aren't on the test? What if it's something we didn't study?
At his words, I felt the faintest seed of doubt. While we'd done practice tests, the actual contents of the pilot's test changed every year. There were always questions about boosters, fighter components, and maneuvers. But technically, any part of our schooling could be included. I'd missed a lot of classes. But I knew I shouldn't worry. Beowulf wouldn't worry. Confidence was the soul of heroism.
"I'm going to ace that test, Rig," I said.
"You and I?
We're going to be the best pilots in the Defiant Defense Force. We'll fight so well, the Krell will raise lamentations to the sky like smoke above a pyre, crying in desperation at our advent."
Rig cocked his head.
"A bit much?" I asked.
"Where do you come up with these things?"
"Sounds like something Beowulf might say." Raj settled back down to study, and I probably should have joined him. Yet a part of me was fed up with studying, with trying to cram things into my brain. I wanted the challenge to just arrive. We had one more lecture today, unfortunately. I listened to the other dozen or so students chatter together, but I wasn't in a mood to put up with their stupidity. Instead, I found myself pacing like a caged animal, until I noticed Mrs. Vermeer walking toward me with Alfier, the sanitation guy. She wore a bright green skirt, but the silvery cadet's pin on her blouse was the real mark of her achievement. It meant she'd passed the pilot's test. She must have washed out in flight school, otherwise she'd have a golden pin. But washing out wasn't uncommon. And down here in Igneous, even a cadet's pin was a mark of great accomplishment. Mrs. Vermeer had special clothing and food requisition privileges. She wasn't a bad teacher. She didn't treat me much differently from the other students, and she hardly ever scowled at me. I kind of liked her, even if her daughter was a creature of distilled darkness, worthy only of being slain so her corpse could be used to make potions.
"Spencer," Mrs. Vermeer said, "Citizen Alfier wanted to speak with you."
I braced myself for questions about my father. Everyone always wanted to ask about him. What was it like to live as the daughter of a coward? Did I wish I could hide from it? Did I ever consider changing my surname? People who thought they were being empathetic always asked questions like those.
"I hear," Alfier said, "that you're quite the explorer."
I opened my mouth to spit back a retort, then bit it off.
"What?" "You go out in the caves," he continued. "Hunting?"
Yes, I said.
"Rats." "We have need of people like you," Alfier said.
"In sanitation?"
"A lot of the machinery we service runs through far-off caverns. We make expeditions to them and need rugged types for those trips. If you want a job, I'm offering one."
"A job? In sanitation?" "I'm going to be a pilot," I blurted out.
"The pilot's test is hard," Alfier said, glancing at our teacher. "Not many pass it. I'm offering you a guaranteed place with us. You sure you don't want to consider it?"
"No, thank you." Alfier shrugged and walked off. Mrs. Vermeer studied me for a moment, then shook her head and went to welcome the next lecturer. I backed up against the wall, folding my arms. Mrs. Vermeer knew I was going to be a pilot. Why would she think I'd accept such an offer? Alfier couldn't have known about me without her saying something to him, so what was up?
"They're not going to let you be a pilot," a voice said beside me.
I glanced and saw, belatedly, that I'd happened to walk over by Dia. The dark-haired girl sat on the floor, leaning on the wall. Why wasn't she chatting with the others?
"They don't have a choice," I said to her. "Anyone can take the pilot's test."
"Anyone can take it," Dia said. "But they decide who passes, and it's not always fair. The children of First Citizens get in automatically." I glanced at the painting of the First Citizens on the wall.
We had them in all the classrooms, and yes, I knew their children got automatic entry into flight school. They deserved it, as their parents had fought at the Battle of Alta. Technically, so had my father. But I wasn't counting on that to help me. Still, I'd always been told that a good showing on the test would get anyone, regardless of status, into flight school. The Defiant Defense Force, the DDF, didn't care who you were, so long as you could fly. I know they won't count me as a daughter of a first, I said, but if I pass, I get in, just like anyone else. That's the thing, Spaz. You won't pass, no matter what. I heard my parents talking about it last night. Admiral Ironsides gave orders to deny you. You don't really think they'd let the daughter of Chaser fly for the DDF, do you? Liar. I felt my face grow cold with anger. She was trying to taunt me again, to get me to throw a fit. Dia shrugged. You'll see. It doesn't matter to me. My father already got me a job in the Administration Corps. I hesitated. This wasn't like her usual insults. It didn't have the same vicious bite, the same sense of amused taunting. She really seemed not to care whether I believed her. I stalked across the room to where Mrs. Vermeer was speaking with the new lecturer, a woman from the Algivat Corps. We need to talk, I told her. Just a moment, Svenza. I stood there, intruding on their conversation, arms folded, until finally Mrs. Vermeer sighed, then pulled me to the side. What is it, child? She asked. Have you reconsidered Citizen Alfier's kind offer? Did the Admiral herself order that I'm not to pass the pilot's test? Mrs. Vermeer narrowed her eyes, then turned and glanced toward her daughter. Is it true? I asked. Spencer, Mrs. Vermeer said, looking back at me. You have to understand, this is a very delicate issue. Your father's reputation is it true? Mrs. Vermeer drew her lips to a line and didn't answer. Is it all lies then? I asked. The talk of equality and of only skill mattering? Of finding your right place and serving there? It's complicated, Mrs. Vermeer said. She lowered her voice. Look, why don't you skip the test tomorrow to save everyone the embarrassment? Come to me, and we'll talk about what might work for you. If not sanitation, perhaps ground troops? So I can stand all day on guard duty? I said, my voice growing louder. I need to fly. I need to prove myself. Mrs. Vermeer sighed, then shook her head. I'm sorry, Spencer, but this was never going to be. I wish one of your teachers had been brave enough to disabuse you of the notion when you were younger. In that moment, everything came crashing down around me. A daydreamed future. A carefully imagined escape from my life of ridicule. Lies. Lies that a part of me had suspected. Of course they weren't going to let me pass the test. Of course I was too much of an embarrassment to let fly. I wanted to rage. I wanted to hit someone, break something, scream until my lungs bled. Instead, I strode from the room, away from the laughing eyes of the other students.